You're listening to a special edition of Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. The Sacramento Kings' playoff appearance was a first for a lot of fans after a postseason drought of 16 years. One particular person, though, has been with the Kings since day one. Gary Gerald has been the radio announcer for the Kings since the first game in Sacramento back in 1985. And the G-Man himself has seen it all, the good, the bad, and yes, those very ugly dark seasons. I spoke with the voice of the Kings back in March as Gary crossed a huge milestone, broadcasting his 3,000th game. So, Gary or G-Man, I'm just curious, where did you get your nickname G-Man?
It's a question that I'm frequently asked, and I really don't have a good answer. It started way back in the days when I was still working at KCRA television, which means it would have been in the early mid-70s, somewhere along in there. And for whatever reason, it seemed to stick. And here we are all of these years later, and I still answer to G-Man.
You've had such a wonderful trajectory in sports journalism and just sports. You grew up in Michigan. Did you ever think you would be doing what you're doing today and at the young age of 82?
I certainly, as a youngster, remember that all I wanted to do was be a sports broadcaster. And this was at a time when colleges and universities did not provide broadcasting curriculum. And so I was very fortunate that at a very young age, unfortunately, my father passed when I was 12 years old. My mother was frequently ill, and I was an only child, and I was left to fend on my own, and frequently would live with neighbors or our pastor's family in our church. But the bottom line was that a small town radio station in Midland, Michigan became my second home. And I virtually visited that radio station on a daily basis. I would spend every night there. And at a very young age, I was afforded the opportunity to have my own show as a teenager. And it kind of evolved out of that. And the fact that I always wanted to be a sports guy somehow came to be. And I'm one of the very fortunate few, I gather, that over a lifetime have been able to do exactly what I always wanted to do.
Do you ever think about taking your show on the road and joining another team? You've stayed with the Kings for so long, since 1985.
Well, Sacramento has been our home since the mid-60s, 1965. And when the Kings came to Sacramento in 1985, I was overjoyed because it was the first major sports franchise to make Sacramento a home. And I've always enjoyed Sacramento, and I've had no desire to transplant and go somewhere else. And the fact that the Kings have been here now for 38 years, and I've been blessed with the opportunity to be a broadcaster with that organization, has just been something that I think dreams are made of.
Take us back to that era in 1985. What was it like to be a basketball fan here?
Well, if you were a basketball fan prior to the arrival of the Kings, your only opportunity to watch basketball were through high school, some limited college play, UC Davis, Sac State, most notably. And then there were a handful of AAU teams and independent tournaments, the March of Dimes tournament, things like that. And so it was really kind of slim pickings. And then suddenly it all gets transformed. And the excitement that when the Kings came in Sacramento in the mid-80s, 1985, I always hearken back to the preceding season, the end of the season, in the spring of 85, the Kansas City Kings were making a West Coast appearance to play a couple of games, either in Los Angeles or in Oakland against the Golden State Warriors. And they scheduled a stop in Sacramento and had a workout scheduled at American River College. And I remember just being blown away walking into that gym. It's not big. Seats probably at that time around, I think, 3,200, something like that. And it was crammed to the rafters with now Kings fans who were so excited to see the Kansas City Kings in person. And I remember the looks were just incredulous on the parts of the faces of Reggie Theus, LaSalle Thompson, Eddie Johnson, Larry Drew, members of that first team. They were getting standing ovation when they walked on the floor. And when they were doing their routine stretching and things like that to get ready for a practice session, and they were just totally blown away. They couldn't believe there was that kind of support to greet them in Sacramento. And that's where it all began. And I think it was a streak of almost 500 games, 497. The first 497 games that the Kings played in Sacramento were all sold out. And that still stands as one of the longest sellout streaks in NBA history. So it's gratifying to see how it's evolved over this long period of time. It was just so exciting when they first arrived. And now with the resurgence of the Kings, it's really getting exciting once again.
You know, given that, I mean, what you've experienced, this trajectory with the Sacramento Kings since its inception here in Sacramento, I mean, it's just so special. After almost 40 years of calling Kings games, do you still get butterflies over certain games or moments?
I don't know if I would call it butterflies. There's always apprehension, and you always want your team to have success. And the fact that this organization has now gone for the last 16 years without making the playoffs has become the longest drought in all of professional sports. And everybody is so anxious to see that drought broken. And I've referenced it to being like wandering in the desert for a decade and a half. And finally, an oasis is in sight. And I see palm trees and I see fountains and sparkling water. And I'm ready to dive in. And there will be anxiety and there will be angst and there will be drama. And there will be nights when you excel, and there'll be nights when you wish you had the opportunity to do it all over again. But the fact that it's creating excitement, we're getting sellout crowds on a consistent basis once again, it's a fun team to watch. And I'm truly excited about, you know, everybody's kind of being resurrected here after a dry spell. We frequently talk about the passion of Kings fans, and it's been exemplary over the years. But there's nothing like winning, and everybody wants to jump on the bandwagon, wants to be part of the fun. And I get to be part of that fun on a nightly basis. And it's something that keeps these old bones going and just thoroughly enjoying what I get the opportunity to do.
You have quite the unique experience of, I'm using your metaphor of being parched for about 16 seasons now. You know, given that you are that radio voice that really comforts fans, guides the team, how do you get energized over the last 16 seasons when you've had, you know, your fair share of times when the team is down and out?
It's been a huge challenge. There's no question. You want success. And when you don't have success on a regular basis, it has a tendency to beat you down. And I joke about the fact that I used to be 6'4", but now I'm 5'8". And I've been pounded down here over the years with some of the struggles of the Kings. But if you're a professional broadcaster, in my mind, you find a way. And I've always tried to be very fair. Yes, you support and you want your home team to have success. And yes, you can be called a homer in terms of being a broadcaster. But by the same token, if the Kings happen to be stinking the joint up, I'm going to tell you that they're stinking the joint up. And I think that that's the only thing that a good broadcaster can do. My job, as I see it, is to try to inform, to try to entertain, to try to create a picture in your mind so that if you want to try to envision what's happening through the radio, you can do that. And it's a huge challenge when your team is struggling for success. I go back even further, you know, just over a decade ago when it looked like the Kings were going to be uprooted and moved to another city.
That's right.
And the despair that was felt amongst all the fans, people in the organization, as a broadcaster, those were the toughest games that I've ever had to do. And each game, you know, you kind of had to have a little chat with yourself before you went on the air and say, okay, you know, don't let this drag you down. Don't let it impact your broadcast. Try to find a way to, you know, be positive, even though it is so gloomy in what the future looks like for this organization. Thank goodness they were able to survive. Vivek Ranadive comes to the rescue, buys the team from the Maloofs. Now we have this magnificent Golden One Center in the heart of downtown Sacramento that I think is really revitalizing the downtown core area, much as we hoped it would. Then you look back over the last couple of years, and with COVID, because we couldn't travel, we were doing games on a remote basis. Some of those were almost as difficult as the time leading up to whether or not the Kings were going to be uprooted and moved. Because in the building for home games, you had cutouts. You had no fans. And because we weren't traveling and calling games remotely, there's no energy to feed off of. That was a very difficult time as well. But now we seemingly, in the past, we started traveling again in the last 6 weeks of last season and all of this year. And so it's good to be back. You get to see, you know, broadcasters and friends that you've come to make over the years on the road. You get to visit your favorite hole-in-the-wall dining places and things like that. And all of that combined with some modest success has really rekindled, I think, my passion for Kings basketball.
We're having this conversation under drastically different circumstances in the very, very best way after, you know, a drought of 16 seasons. And you marked this history-making 3,000th game. That must be so special that it's in a season that is so long overdue.
Well, it is very special. I don't consider myself to be a big ego person, but I would be lying if I didn't say that, you know, reaching 3,000 Kings games is a very satisfying milestone from my personal standpoint. And the fact that we were able to win the 3,000th game on the road, and the fact that the Kings coaches and the organization saw fit to get me down from my broadcast position immediately. I got a text. This never happens. I got a text in the fourth quarter saying, as soon as the game is finished, get to the locker room as quickly as you can. And I'm thinking, I wonder what this is about. Something is up. So I end up making my way quickly to the locker room, and some of the staff are outside the locker room in Oklahoma City, and I'm saying, you know, what's going on? And I don't know. They're either they don't know, or they're really good at being coy and playing it off. And then we get in the locker room, and after wins, something that the Kings have newly initiated this season is awarding a player the defensive player of the game. It's a beautifully addressed medallion, Kings logo, full of glitz and glitter on a heavy, heavy gold chain. And it's quite an honor for the defensive player of the game. So Jordy Fernandez, who is the associate head coach with Mike Brown, he's the one who makes the decision, or who hands it out. And he's talking about, you know, in defense, communication is important. We've got a communicator here who tonight celebrated his 3,000th broadcast. And G-Man is the man who gets the chain. And the team goes around you and they take pictures, and they got a fog machine, and they got all kinds of blitz and bling and stuff going on. I have to tell you, it was not only was an extraordinary experience, it was probably one of the most memorable experiences of my lifetime. It was absolutely mind-boggling.
You have been with the Kings through just, you know, turbulent waves over the decades. And the reality is, we've had this conversation multiple times on Insight that, you know, this season, there are people in Sacramento who have never really experienced what a city is like during a playoff run. It's been 16 seasons.
You look back to that run of 8 years, eight consecutive years in the playoffs under Rick Adelman, and a couple of the most memorable playoff series, most notably the one with the Lakers in 2002 that went to overtime in a seventh game before it was decided. The atmosphere at the old Arco Arena, it's off the charts. And people get swept up in it. And it's such a rallying cause and cry for not only Kings fans, but I think people get swept up in the enthusiasm. And it's something that a region shares. And it's something that we haven't had, you know, for such a long period of time, that there's no question in my mind that, you know, people are going to go bonkers. I mean, they're just going to be beside themselves with joy. Golden 1 Center will never have experienced what it will be like on the night that the first playoff game is played in that building. And it will be literally vibrating, I guarantee you.
Yeah, it is an underdog story. You also said that you're not afraid to be critical of the Kings' performance on the court. Where would you rank this current team from years past?
Well, it's closing in on ranking behind. I mean, the Kings have only been to the playoffs three different spans. We mentioned the 8 years under Adelman. They had one season in the mid-90s where they played Seattle. And then some people forget that the very first year the Kings were in Sacramento, they did make it to the playoffs thanks to a late season push. They didn't have a winning record that year, but they got in. They were swept in three games by the Houston Rockets. So right now, I think this team is starting to create, you know, memories and ties to the early years of success under Rick Adelman, which was, I think it was 1999, maybe the first season or 2000, that he was with the Kings and they got into the playoffs. You get into the playoffs and it becomes a different game. The intensity is ratcheted up so much. And the old cliche about how every possession is so meaningful is absolutely true. And you can't make mistakes. And the window for opportunity is a small one. And then you get your foot in the door. And then you have to learn how to win in this scenario. But I guess what I'm trying to say is that, you know, there are no givens. When you start, you have to learn how to win in a playoff atmosphere. And there are only a couple of guys on the Kings roster who've had playoff experience in the past. And so for the bulk of the team, they're going to find out it's a whole different world in terms of intensity and meaningful possessions. So it'll be an exciting time. It'll be a learning time. But I love Mike Brown, the head coach of the Kings, his approach. He doesn't just want to make the playoffs and end the drought. He wants to have success in the playoffs.
Just listening to you talk about, one, your passion for broadcasting, your passion for basketball, specifically the Kings, I'm just curious, what is life like for you on your days off or during the off season? What do you do?
Well, for close to 40 years, I worked network television and I did primarily motorsports. In the off season. And so I was basically traveling every weekend of the summer. So now that I've pulled out of the motorsports as of 6-7 years ago, slowed things down a bit. I spend a lot of time on the golf course. I enjoy that immensely. But the excitement of this kind of revitalization of the Kings and their success of this season makes off days interesting. I always enjoy watching other teams play through NBA League Pass and through the various networks. We get a chance to watch teams on a national basis, on a nightly basis. So if we're not playing, I'm watching a handful of games every night and keeping an eye on what teams are doing. And so it's basketball still takes a very, very big part of my life. And I'm proud and blessed to have the opportunity.
Yeah, it's a vigorous schedule. And especially after the pandemic, remembering those like fan cardboard cutouts, you know, in the stands and not really being able to travel, you know, after that pause and that hiatus, do you enjoy traveling with the team? Because it can also get grueling, I would imagine.
It is grueling. And a lot of people think, oh, it's so glamorous. And that's not always the case. You tell me how glamorous it is when you're walking off a bus that you come from the airport and it's 8 below zero in Minneapolis and you're arriving at the hotel at 2 in the morning and you get your bags and unpack and you're turning the lights out at 3:30 or something like that. But you become conditioned to it, and that's part of it. And I do enjoy it. My one concern, Vicki, is that my wife's health is not good. And I worry about her when I'm on the road. She maintains that, you know, she can still fend for herself, and she has done very well over this last season while we have been traveling. But it is a concern. But that's part of the aging process. And it's something that you know, we all just face and you adapt to as best you can. So it's there are challenges that come with the travel. It can be grueling at times. But when you're having success, and particularly, I mean, the Kings have the best road record in the Western Conference right now. And I love that. I mean, and I've always maintained, road wins are the best. There's a great atmosphere when you're home and the joint's rocking and you win on the home floor. But when you're on the road and you're in an adversarial position and you got, you know, 18, 20,000 fans rooting against you and you pull off the victory on the road, there's nothing quite like that feeling. And I love it. And I still maintain road wins are the best.
Do you have like an all-time must-have favorite meal when you're on the road?
I'm pretty much a hole-in-the-wall type of a guy. I mean, I have favorite pizza places. I have hot dog places. Places where I go and, you know, maybe it's nachos one night. Maybe it's some kind of pasta, whatever. You know, lots of them. You kind of find your niches over the years in various cities. And occasionally, you know, it's a nice, you know, formal type dinner, but I'm kind of satisfied very easily. I can be just as happy with a hot dog, and some nights it's a PB&J when you come off the airplane and a bag of chips in your hotel room, and that's good enough for me. I love it.
I feel like with how much you've traveled that you can have a G-Man food blog. So maybe something you can do if you ever choose to retire from the Sacramento Kings in broadcasting. You know, finally, a big piece of this, the reason why you've been with the Kings for so long and also love Sacramento. I mean, you talk about the city, especially the fans, given that you have traveled to every NBA city every single season, with the exception, obviously, of the pandemic. You've said it many times. We have the best fans. Why is that?
Well, I don't know that I have an answer for that. It's just somehow there is a connection. And the hardcore group of Kings fans who've been there through thick and thin have just been so passionate and so supportive. When the team hasn't been good enough to deserve, frankly, that kind of support. And somehow the connection has been made. And now that they're enjoying success again, some of those people that have been on the fringe, they're jumping in feet first and they're enjoying the ride. So it's marvelous. You know, there are a handful of cities that you go to where there is a very passionate fan base. It can be very raucous, but I still hear countless references to this day from people when I'm on the road, hearkening back to the old Arco in Sacramento. And the fact that it was built kind of on the cheap, it had the wooden plywood floors, people would stomp their feet. We called it Arco Thunder. And that has stuck in the memory of so many people. It was such a tough environment for opposing teams to play in. And I still hear references virtually on a daily basis. We're on the road. Somebody will say, man, I just remember how tough it was to play in the old Arco. Well, hopefully now they're going to start to be saying that about Golden One Center in Sacramento. It's a great facility, and the fans have been responding, and the sellout crowds have been, you know, multiplying, and it's just a great atmosphere, and it's a great place to watch basketball. And so we're excited about that.
Gary, it's been wonderful. Thank you for making the time, and congratulations on such an incredible accomplishment. 3,000 games.
I guess that just means I'm old, but I've enjoyed the ride, and I've said so many times, I am truly blessed, and I love that I have the opportunity to do what I do. And knock on wood, or whatever, hopefully we can keep it rolling for a while longer at least.
Gary Gerald has been the radio voice of the Sacramento Kings since their first game back in 1985. I spoke with the G-Man himself as he surpassed a sports broadcasting milestone, calling 3,000 games with the Kings, an accomplishment which began nearly 40 years ago. You're listening to Insight here on Cap Radio. I'm your host, Vicki Gonzalez. We're back in just a moment.